Turn with me to, I'll get it right here in a minute, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34. We're going to read verses 11 through 16. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16. And before us this morning, perhaps we have one of the most tender and most compassionate sayings of our sovereign to the likes of us. And we know who's speaking. It's the God, it's God, Jehovah God, who cannot lie. What a promise. What a promise for all his redeemed. Look at these verses with me here this morning. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Jehovah, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost. I will bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. We're going to look at one verse, verse 11. That's what caught my attention. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, the great I am, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who speaks and it is, it was, cannot lie. I will both search my sheep and seek them out. I want to notice just two thoughts. There's a twofold searching and seeking that God does to his sheep. He's talking about sheep here. He's our great shepherd. The first thought is, while we are lost and we don't seek him, he searches us and seeks us. That's the first thought. His sheep will be both sought out and carried home, like that 90 and 9. He leaves the rest and goes and finds that one sheep. And the illustration is that he throws it over his shoulders and carries the sheep home. I, even I, this is who's speaking. This is not my word. There's things I say and will determine to do and can't get done. That's my human frailty. And it becomes worse when you get older. It becomes worse when you get older. Bruce and I are talking. It's almost a game. It's almost a competition. It's like, I got this done. I know Bruce is going to say, I didn't get that done. I got too much to do. So we're always comparing. It's like when you get older, they say you talk about food, and I like to talk about food. But this also, what I've gotten done. What I've gotten done. He both searches out and seeks out his people. We sing a hymn.
Come thou fount.
And I couldn't remember. I remembered the one phrase, typed it in, and it came up because I'm like, ah, this is going to be a hard one to find. Because I thought it was a couple other hymns. But it says in the third stanza, or the second stanza, the third paragraph, I guess, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. I, the Lord God, choosing the Son, dying for those who I've chosen, the Holy Spirit quickens those whom the Son died for whom I chose. I, even I, will both search out my sheep and seek them out. How cheerfully does our Lord and Savior find out his chosen? Perhaps we were so very near the flames of hell. Yet he snatched us as a brand from the fire, says Zechariah chapter 3, verse 2. That's what he did. Some of us, he's done that. Some of us, he saved during young age. Some of us, middle age. Some of us, our friend David, later in life. He searched. He sought. And he found. By the Father sending his only begotten Son to reclaim us, nay, propitiate for us, nay, cover us from the day of wrath, to set us up among princes, the Scripture says. Bless the Lord of glory. He did seek, and he found, and he redeemed, and he will resurrect us. We'll be with him as where he's at. So basically, the wandering ones were found. The distant ones were brought nigh, says the Scriptures, by the blood of Christ. The wayward ones were set on that straight path. The helpless ones are comforted and aided. The guilty ones are made new and whole, because the Scripture says the iniquity is sought for and not found. Why? Because I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Oh, brethren, this is what I enjoy. Brethren, do not lose hope of those the Lord has laid on your hearts. Children, parents, good friends who do not know the gospel. He's laid them on our heart in prayer. Perhaps they will also will be sought out and found by grace. Perhaps. Don't lose hope. I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. The second thought is this. While we strayed, he's found us. But like Bruce said, and I thought he was going to pretty well preach the message when he's towards the end of the text, we wander, because the flesh, we wander. The second point is he will seek us and search us out, his sheep, and seek us out when straying from the pastures of truth and holiness. Perhaps we are by sin and neglect, we have gone astray, we become cold and indifferent to his word, to his fellowship, to his assembly. Perhaps that's us here this morning. He will not lose any for whom he both searches and seeks out. Can't be done. Never. If this is the only verse, verse 11, let's just say you have a fire and everything is destroyed, but this one verse, this is enough. This is enough. I remember reading I got a little book, it's a little bitty old thing, George Whitefield, it's A Strange and Unusual Conversions. And I remember a story that he tells, of course he was in the 1700s, so the kind of ships they had. Well, the ship that this person, a cargo ship, kind of like in the book of Acts, I guess, well, it sunk, it burnt, sunk, exploded. There was a guy, he was floating in the ocean, and he was floating on a piece of the debris of the ship. and the moon was out and bright. Of course, everything else is dark. And he said another board came by him, and a part of the Bible was infused, burnt into the wood, and he could read it. And he read the passage, and he said the Lord did something for him. If this is the only word you hear, verse 11, if this is it, this is it. He changes not. Thus he will not stop seeking his people out. He's immutable. That's one of his attributes. He does not change. If he says something, he will do it. And he says, I will both search out my sheep and seek them out. As all these preachers, he'll cross your path with the gospel. He'll cross your path with the gospel preacher. He'll cross your path with the word of God. If the Lord does something, you're going to seek it. He sought you. He found you. You're going to seek where you can hear the word in truth. You're going to hear the gospel. In providence and in his sovereign grace, he will pursue. That is, that he seeks and searches out. Another word for that is pursue, run after, chase. I like this one, woo. It's not a word we use very often, but when we're trying to find our spouse, you know, the Lord has someone for us, we're like, we woo. Remember, he's married to us. There's no way we will ever be totally separated from our spouse. He woos us. I'm going to show you some examples. People who the Lord sought, his sheep, whether they were in foreign lands. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. Foreign lands. Joseph, he's in a foreign land. He's in Egypt. He's over everybody other than the Pharaoh. Genesis chapter 50, starting in verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren, he finally got together with his brethren, they saw that their father was dead. They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, because remember they sold him, and they sold him for slavery. They're going to kill him. But Benjamin's, or one of the older brothers said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. His blood will be on our head. So they just put him down in a big old hole, left him for dead. So now their father is dead, and he'll hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him, which I would have done it. I'd have been revengeful. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command thee. Before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. These people are mean. They mean evil. But he saw the overriding providence of God, that all things work together for good. And Romans wasn't even written. Romans wasn't even thought about. Paul wasn't even born. The Old Testament saints, they knew the gospel just like the New Testament saints. So whether you're in a foreign land, I will both search and seek out my sheep. What about Ruth? We won't turn there, but what about Ruth? The Lord brought Naomi to this foreign land, the children married, and then all the children are dead, her husband's dead, and then there's Ruth. She's in a foreign land. I want your God to be my God. God, in his providential dealings with her, saw to it that she was going to go back. Light on a field, whose man whose name was Boaz, the next of kin. And the rest was history. What about Esther? Esther. What about her? Mordecai and Esther and all the Jews, they're not even in their own land. They're in a foreign land. sought, found, and kept every one of them. Secondly, what about if we are found in poverty? Luke chapter 16. Found in poverty. Poverty is never fun. It's a burden that people who have money don't realize. What about if you're in poverty? Will God, can He still find you? Can He still search you out? Can He still seek you out? Well, let's look at Luke 16. Verse 19, and there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eye, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he, Lazarus, is comforted, and you're tormented. I'd say the Lord sought him out and found him. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. He found him, he comforted, and he kept him. What about if we're in obscurity? Nobody knows who we are. 2 Kings chapter 4. Nobody knows who we are. Bruce Crabtree and I were talking the other day, and he said, when we die, he says, nobody's going to remember us. We're not that important. Now, I know the lecturers and the folks that are higher up there, you know, streets named after them, cities named after them, sports coliseums, but we're not, and that's not going to happen to us. That's not going to happen to us. What about this widow who the Lord multiplied the oil? 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now there are certain women of the wives of the sons of the prophets. Doesn't even have her name. She's not even named. Who is this obscure person who's going to be sought out and who's going to be searched out? Saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him unto him my sons to be slaves. She couldn't pay. So sons are going to go work it off. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thy house. And she said, my handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. He said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad and thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went in from him and shut the door upon her and her two sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest and in rest. Who is she? She's obscure, but she's my sister. She's your sister. And the Lord, I both searched my sheep and sought them out. Nonetheless, she's not named, but nonetheless, she was searched out, sought out, and much assisted. And I stopped and I got, isn't the grace of God wonderful? When you stop and think about what we have that we don't deserve, it is wonderful. Lastly, what about if we're in despair? 2 Samuel chapter 9. What about in despair? I'd say there's believers in foreign lands, there's believers in poverty, there's believers in obscurity. What about in despair? 2 Samuel chapter 9. David, in verse 1, chapter 2 Samuel 9, 1, and David said, "Is there yet any left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba, and he said unto call David the king unto him, and said, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And is there, he repeats the question, "Is there any left, the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness of God unto him?" And he said, "Jonathan has yet a son who's lame on both feet." He's in despair. He can't get around. I would suspect they didn't have wheelchairs back then. He got to be carried. And the king said unto him, "Who is he? Where is he?" "He's in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel and Lodabar." The king said, "Fetch him. Fetch him. Seek him out. Search him out. I'm searching. I'm asking these people. And they know somebody. They know this one. There's one person. His name is Mephibosheth." And in the last two verses of this chapter, 12 and 13, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth, this man who is in despair, this man who had nothing, this man who couldn't go anywhere without assistance. So this man dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. He was sought out. He was found. Poor Mephibosheth. What about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, come down. What about disheartened Peter, who denied the Lord three times? The Lord specifically sought him out and comforted him and wrought grace for him. Now, I would say that everyone for whom this applies can say this: "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore." I'd say this Jude verse 24 applies to all the shepherd seeks and to all that he is able to save. Because Ezekiel says, "Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." Why, I further can state, on the basis of Scripture, this book, this airless, God-breathed book, states over and over again, it is a point of utmost honor with Christ to seek and to save all the flock, without a single exception. There will none be lost. Every single sheep will be found. And that's kind of what we're here for. What are we here for? To go to work, yes, pay Caesar's, yes, pay the, but speak of Christ. If you can't speak, get a card, give them a card, say, "Here, come, this is where I go to church, come." Because when that last elect is found, he's going to wrap it up. But that, I can say that, without exception, it's a point of honor with Christ to save all the flock without a single exception. He will not lose any honor or glory, because if he would not save all of his elect, that would be a point of honor or dishonor to him, and not glory, but humiliation. And he was humiliated once. And right now he's seated at the right hand of majesty on high. So I want to reread this last verse. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." And I think we can say at the end of that verse, Selah. Selah, which David often put after Psalms. Selah, what's that mean? It means to pause and consider. To pause and consider. He will seek us out. He searched us out and seek us out. So I'm going to pause and consider, and as well, a heartfelt amen. It is so. Because God says it. And he says it to comfort. As I said, this verse of scripture is perhaps one of the most tender and most compassionate sayings our sovereign has to those who do not deserve any of his mercy. He says he will do that. So we'll say, Selah. I'm going to pause and consider. When I'm right in the middle of my job and the boss is hollering at me, or they want me to give a speech and I don't know what I'm supposed to say or do, I'm going to pause and consider what he's done for me. And I'm going to thank him and say, amen and amen. Nathan, would you close us?